divine mercy is poured out for us. Great mystical tradition of the apparitions of our Lord throughout history really culminated with the revelations of Sacred Heart to Margaret Mary, where we see revealed before us the very heart of Christ. His heart is so full of love and mercy and compassion that it appears on the outside of his body, that we might know the love of our Lord and his compassion and respond by showing him compassion. In our modern times, we have the image of the divine mercy as revealed by our Lord to Saint Faustina. And if it wasn't enough that our Lord should expose his heart to each and every one of us, he wants to make it crystal clear that his grace and mercy is available for us. And so the heart disappears. And as the heart goes away, the rays appear, the white ray representing grace and baptism, the red ray representing the blood flowing from the heart of Christ and the sacrament of the Eucharist. Our Lord pours out his love and compassion toward us, and he desires us to approach his throne of mercy with confidence. Jesus, I trust in you. He leads us to his divine mercy. And if we don't come to him, he comes to us. In the end, we have to cooperate, but our Lord is eager that we should obtain his forgiveness and mercy. Our Lord prepared his apostles for his passion, death, and resurrection. He lived with them for 3 years, preparing them for the moment when he would offer himself, and gave them everything that they needed in order to be faithful to him and to benefit from that great grace that belonged to the Easter celebration, the Easter Triduum. We know that for the most part they failed in receiving that grace, at least initially, because they were not there with him when he suffered and died. Peter, his one he made the head of the church, of course, on Holy Thursday night proclaimed his fidelity to our Lord and promised that he would die with our Lord. And the next day, of course, or that night, he denied our Lord 3 times. The apostles were slow to believe after our Lord rose from the dead. Only St. John was there on Good Friday, and when he went to the tomb, he looked into the tomb, and as soon as he saw the empty tomb, he believed. But even that really wasn't fast enough, you might say. Our Lord upbraided all of his apostles because they were slow to believe. They were slow to obtain the mercy of Christ. And so at the end of Easter week, we come to this particular gospel, which is really kind of the end of the historical Easter week, and also a kind of summation of that transformation of the apostles from a lack of faith to complete faith. There were many occasions when our Lord appeared to the different individuals that were close to him, to Mary Magdalene, Peter, James, John, and the apostles and the disciples on the road to Emmaus. For one reason or another, St. Thomas was not there for any of them, and he didn't believe, and he swore that he wouldn't believe unless he was able to put his finger into the wounds in our Lord's hands and his hand into the side of Christ. And each time our Lord would appear to the apostles, he would upbraid them. He'd say, why didn't you believe what others had told you? It wasn't just that they should have recognized the empty tomb, or they should have put their faith in him at the moment that they saw him, but our Lord expected them to believe Mary Magdalene, not to call what she said women's tales or complete nonsense. And St. Thomas was expected to believe the other apostles when they told him that our Lord had been seen, risen from the dead. But that, you know, didn't stop our Lord from reaching out to Thomas. There's a beautiful painting of, I believe it's by Rembrandt, of the conversion of St. Thomas at this particular moment, where our Lord has him by the hand and is pulling his hand into his own side. You know, Thomas wouldn't go on his own. He wouldn't go our Lord's way on his own. So our Lord went to Thomas, and he reached out and he brought Thomas's hand to his heart. And this is really, in a sense, what the Divine Mercy image represents for us, this our being irradiated by grace and by mercy. Our Lord making it clear that he is projecting that mercy out to us. In the end, you know, even Thomas had to consent. He had to collaborate. He had to assent to the mercy that was made available to us, to him, my Lord and my God, ultimately. But our Lord doesn't leave it at that. You know, once St. Thomas has assented to the faith and consented to our Lord's will for him, our Lord reminds them all again, one more time, just so he's absolutely clear, you know, that they should have believed before they saw him. That's what he wanted from them. Blessed are you who believe because you have seen, or you have come to believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet still believe. That ultimately is the act of faith. Our Lord is true to his word. We can invest our whole life and everything that we have into his promises, into the things that he has told us. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to believe him when he tells us that something is true, that he has come among us as man and suffered, died, and has been risen from the dead. He wants us to believe him when he tells us that he loves us and that he gives us his commands to bring us into everlasting life. And he tells us not to do certain things, you know, not to steal or to be impure or to transgress his other commandments. Because it's good for us. He ultimately wants us to go to heaven. But at the same time, we'll find our happiness in serving him. We'll find our happiness in putting him first. We were created to love him, to serve him, to worship him, and to give ourselves to him completely and to trust him. And he wants to be trusted. He expects us to trust him. And that's why there is this outpouring of the mercy. There's this manifestation of our Lord's power, the power of his resurrection. And yet there is always an occasion for us to assent to things that we can't fully understand and that we don't see. We have to, as our Lord told St. Peter, put out into the deep. You know, I've been hard at it all night long, St. Peter told our Lord when our Lord told him to go fishing again. He said, but at your word, I will do it. And that's what our Lord is asking from each and every one of us as we celebrate this Sunday dedicated to our Lord's divine mercy. So that image that we have today is such a poignant and powerful image to remind us of what our Lord is making available to us. And the chaplet that we will pray after the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is a reminder of how the power of God comes to us through the Eucharist. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son in atonement for my sins and those of the whole world. Everything comes to us through his sacraments, and most especially through the Eucharist. And we have contact with God's divine mercy and from his resurrected power when we approach the Eucharist. And we're called to offer ourselves in union with his sacrifice each and every day. This is where we find the power of God. It's not just simply a matter of escaping suffering. It's certainly not a matter of escaping suffering. It's not even a matter of avoiding sin. It's a matter of uniting ourselves with our Lord and understanding fully his divine mercy, how much he's loved us and how much he's been willing to suffer for us out of love for us, and then living that mystery. You know, coming before the altar of God, receiving Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and uniting all of our sufferings and difficulties, our temptations and everything else, and our hopes, our dreams, and our joys to our Lord. and loving him as he truly deserves. This is what Our Lady did. This is the great faith that Our Lady had. This is why she is not mentioned in any of the accounts of the resurrection, because she fully believed what Our Lord said. Our Lady clung to his words. Our Lady claimed for herself God's divine mercy and became an instrument of that mercy for others, because she was willing to take our Lord at his word and to walk with him to Calvary, to be his companion and his associate on his road to Calvary. She was faithful to him at each and every moment, stood with him, received God's mercy, and with confidence and trust, Jesus, I trust in you, she was able to watch our Lord die and believe in the power of the resurrection even before it happened. All of us are called to do that. No matter where we are right now, no matter what we suffer, no matter what our temptations are, no matter what burdens us, we are called to believe in the power of our Lord's resurrection. And we can experience the joy of the resurrection even now. There's this silly book and DVD called The Secret that's been going around, promoted by Oprah Winfrey and others, and we're told that all we have to do is have good thoughts, positive thoughts, and everything that's good will come to us. We just have to think that whatever we want is here right now and experience the joy of possessing that thing right this moment. And if we are, we persevere in that thought, then those things will come to us. Infallibly, every time, for every person, all we have to do is think good thoughts, feel good things, and everything that we think and feel is going to come to us. That's such a sham. That's a shameless unconscionable ploy that preys upon people's insecurities and needs. But on the other hand, our Lord has made us real promises. Our Lord promised us he would rise from the dead, and he did. And he makes that power available to us right now. The victory is, in fact, ours right now. And we should experience the joy and the confidence that comes from the resurrection of Christ right now. We have reason. We're not attracting, sending out vibrations to the universe. The universe is reorganizing itself based upon our thoughts. Nobody on that tape, by the way, answered, what if two people are thinking exactly the opposite thing with the same kind of power? What will happen then? I was wondering if maybe that's what creates black holes or something in the universe. But our Lord has promised us that if we believe in the power of his resurrection, if we believe in the grace that he has truly made to us, made available to us even right now, that we can experience joy. But the joy doesn't come from some kind of self-absorbed idea that we can create our own universe and make ourselves anything we want to be. It comes from what our Lord did for us. He forgot himself. He poured himself out. He loved. He found joy in loving us, even though we didn't deserve it. How much joy can we find? How much joy can we experience if we forget ourselves and pour ourselves out for someone who does deserve it, who has given us everything, and who desires only one thing: to make us happy? And he can make us happy. There's, people that we love in our life we'd like to make happy. We find ourselves limited sometimes. We can't even make ourselves happy, let alone somebody else happy. But our Lord can make us happy. He can make us happy if we desire that happiness and we're willing to give him all that he deserves and to forget ourselves and to approach his mercy with great confidence. So it is our joy today to celebrate this great feast of divine mercy on this octave day of the resurrection. And it is a particular joy for us here at the Marian Friary of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Griswold to install this image of our Lord here in Griswold. Father MacIsaac, our dear friend, several years ago went to Poland, and he ordered this image for us from an artist in Krakow. And he went there and picked it up and celebrated Mass at the altar where the original image is, and had our image there as well near the altar, and then brought it with him to Rome, which must have been, I would imagine, quite a feat, took the painting with him to Rome and had the painting blessed by the Holy Father. And we've spent the last couple of years trying to put together the shrine there, which is somewhat patterned on the one that is in Krakow. And so it's a great blessing today to have this image here today. And it, of course, remained beneath the image is the first-class relic of St. Faustina in the little box there. So you can all venerate St. Faustina's relics. And we hope that this image will be a source of confidence, consolation, of grace, and conversion for many souls. And we desire with all of our hearts that this mercy belong to each one of you, that you turn to our Lord with confidence and trust in Him truly, and find the power of our Lord's divine mercy, the power of His resurrection in your lives. May your hearts be like that of the Blessed Virgin, which was filled with faith and confidence, and which led her to be faithful to our Lord at each and every moment of her life, and to pour herself out for souls. May the divine mercy be ours. Jesus, I trust in you. So now I invite Father MacIsaac to come before the image, and we'll bless the image and then continue with the Holy Sacrifice.